Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Now Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Now, blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes, for I truly tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. And you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I have a number of friends who do not want to be identified as Christian, who avoid church, some who are uncomfortable around crosses and other Christian symbols. They're not hostile. They are traumatized. They have experienced Christians as judgmental, telling them they don't fit in and don't meet standards. They have had churches tell them that they are not welcome for being who they are, that their life circumstances are God's punishment, that their views and opinions are wrong. Their experience of church is judgment and rejection. Christians have denied them God's kingdom. Churches have taken away their chance to meet God. And they have not heard the words, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, a place of happiness, a place to belong, a place to be yourself." In the gospel reading, Jesus is in the middle of teaching his followers about God's kingdom, God's rule in ways that are now come about. Jesus is training them for an attitude and lifestyle that is God's kingdom. And he describes God's essential character, the core of God's being, as the foundation of this kingdom. "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God's giddy delight. God hopping like a child giving a Mother's Day gift they made themselves, dancing and skipping, unable to contain the joy until gift is opened. God's pleasure in giving you the kingdom as treasure that gives life and makes good, loves pure, brings joy. Not earned, nothing won, no deserving or due, but God's pleasure to give it. God wants you to be happy and content. That is the vision of God, the image of God that Jesus describes. And it begins with God who gives. God gives you what you need. No work, no earning, no decision, no choosing. God opens the store and gives to us first. And it begins with what you believe about God, about who God is, and about what God can do. And then, since God is generous in giving, we can be too. It begins with what you believe about God. Now, every wise person knows that all we have and all that we possess is really God's gift. We come into this world with nothing, a squalling, helpless infant, and we are nurtured, invested with love, given shelter and food, unable to do for ourselves, receiving from others to survive and grow. And we are placed in a country with existing laws and cooperative institutions. And we are given opportunities and guidance and schooling, continuing still through adulthood, receiving what we need to live. So whatever we become and whatever we choose, whatever path we choose, whatever success we achieve, behind it all is the tremendous investment of time and love and money and effort of God's parents and teachers and mentors and colleagues and social institute structures and innumerable unnamed servants. Every wise person knows that every success and possession and achievement is really a gift from God. Every wise person knows that we don't really own anything, that everything is a gift for a time to do with in a way that will most please God. So, what do we have to lose? It's God's gift in the first place. Generous people know that all they have is really gifts, and so generous people then can share, because it really is no personal loss to give. I'm not diminished by giving lavishly, because it's not mine to start with anyway. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God gives so that I might give. And then that biting verse, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What matters most to us is what we will fight for the hardest. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart's desire. So when it comes to church building, and when it comes to worship preferences, when it comes to budget cuts and financial reports, what are we saying about where our heart is? What are we saying is most important to us? And what are we saying about God's generosity and good pleasure? When the conversation is about keeping what we like, it is not about sharing what God has given. And when the attention is on what is in it for us, it's not on young boys who say, "No one cares about me." And it's not on young girls who crave affection. I have learned that whenever things get confusing to me and when I get lost in the many expectations and conflicting messages, I come back to what I call my four P's. P's. Purpose, people, programs, property. Purpose, people, programs, property. In that priority. In times of stress or confusion, the urge is to settle down further down on those priorities. In times of great anxiety, there's a tendency to fixate on the lowest priority, property. To pour attention and effort into fixing up the building to attract more people, to zero in on cutting expenses to balance the budget, to argue who gets dibs on closets and rooms, to recruit more volunteers to manage building and grounds. When hardships arise, people fixate on property, which is the least important priority, avoiding the harder work of higher priorities. Now, programs are the next lowest priority. In terms of confusion and loss, there is a cry for better programs to attract more families, more upbeat music, more inspiring worship, build it and they will come mentality. It's swinging in the dark, assuming that we know what other people want or should want, trying the latest fad to win over members. And the hard truth is, there is no magic program that will save this church. The church is people. Church is about caring for people. There are so many people needs that a church could meet. In fact, so many needs that no one church can meet them all. People need nurture and safety. They need hope and community. Church is there for people. The problem is when congregations attempt too much. The problem is when a congregation assumes it has to do everything. So many needs and so many good-hearted people, and soon a congregation is drawn into every direction, whacking at every issue that arises. It's a kind of arrogance to take on every need. It's as if one's own congregation is the only means by which God acts in the world. The trap is when people's many needs draw the attention in every direction. And soon individual needs become expectations. And expectations become the priority I have for what the church should do. And people's expectations then determine the church's mission and purpose and identity. In the verse immediately before this gospel reading, the words that underlie what Jesus means today in today's gospel reading is this: seek first God's kingdom, and these things shall be given to you as well. Our first priority is purpose. What God asks of each congregation specifically, amidst God's greater kingdom of mercy and forgiveness and reconciliation and justice and kindness and welcome. Priority on God's intention for a congregation is what keeps it from being swayed by whims of personal preferences and being scattered by too many ministries and from myopic focus on material things that really do not matter. Our neighbors out there need the good news that Jesus brings. People in this world are desperate to hear that there is good in this world. Desperate to hear that there is meaning other than consuming and using. That there is a community that genuinely cares and is not about just using people as an end. People in this world are desperate to hear that they belong and are treasured. That their opinions are worth listening to. That their ideas matter. And church can be that. Church can be more than keeping a building in shape. Church can be more than doing more things to attract people so that they take over our volunteer jobs. Church can be God's kingdom, a respite from world's judgments. Church can be God's kingdom that takes time to listen to other people's deep desires. Church can be God's kingdom that leads action to make things right for the ignored and vulnerable and unappreciated. It is God's good pleasure to give this to our neighbors. It is God's good pleasure to take us into deep connection with one another. There are many who have been traumatized by church and many, many more traumatized by social media, messages of inadequacy, images of contrived beauty, vacuous notions of manliness. But God has a different message. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, a gift of a different way, a different kingdom where kindness and goodness and mercy rules. A kingdom that gives life and makes good and loves pure and brings joy. Church is that kind of place. We have a message. We have good news. We have truth that nurtures and frees the soul. So God has some words for us in making such a kingdom. Some words for us. Be kind. People are precious. Be patient. People are doing the best they can with what they got. Take an interest in other people's thoughts. Honor their humanity before you speak. Be generous. We are all in this together. Amen. Let us sing.